first, let's take a look at our headlines.
Cuban president receives visiting Canadian foreign minister.
Cuba and Jamaica expand cooperation in the education sector.
Russia says U.S. must end unlawful measures against Venezuela.
Protesters arrested at the Venezuelan embassy in Washington, D.C. faced $100,000 in fines and 1 year in prison.
And now the news in detail.
Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel received Canadian Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland in Havana on Wednesday. During the meeting, both parties exchanged views on the state of bilateral relations and their willingness to continue expanding them in all areas. They also discussed issues of mutual interest on the international and regional agendas. President Díaz-Canel thanked Canada for its traditional support for the resolution against the blockade, which is approved each year by the United Nations General Assembly, and for the position taken by the government of that country regarding the implementation of the Helms-Burton Law. Earlier in the day, Cuban Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez held talks with his Canadian counterpart. On Twitter, he said he conveyed to Freeland an acknowledgement on the restoration of some migration services at the Canadian embassy in Havana, and that he called for the prompt normalization of the embassy's operations. Rodriguez also said that the tightening of U.S. coercive measures against Venezuela damage its people and are contrary to international law and the dialogue process.
Cooperation between the governments of Cuba and Jamaica have been strengthened with the arrival in Kingston of a group of Cuban educators who will teach in Jamaican schools. Diplomatic sources said that the teachers will impart subjects in the natural sciences as well as in the Spanish language. Both countries began collaboration in general education in November 1997. Statistics from the Jamaican Ministry of Education indicate that about 400 Cuban teachers and professors offered their services in that country from 1997 to 2018. So far this year, some 31,000 children and young people have benefited from the work of Cuban teachers.
Russia has called on the United States to drop, quote, unlawful measures, unquote, against Venezuela, warning that they are causing harm to the people of the Latin American country. Russian Foreign Minister spokeswoman Maria Zakharova told a news briefing on Wednesday that the unilateral U.S. sanctions against Venezuela were worsening the humanitarian situation in the country. Quote, once again, we are urging an end to unlawful measures for the sake of improving the humanitarian situation in Venezuela. Contrary to any logic, the administration of U.S. President Donald Trump has been declaring ever more ways of stepping up pressure on Caracas. They have been threats of a sea blockade. Has the experience of a failed half a century long blockade of Cuba not taught Washington a lesson? Unquote, Zakharova said. Experts in Venezuela have warned about the harmful effects of U.S. sanctions on the lives of Venezuelan workers. Washington has imposed several rounds of sanctions against Caracas to oust Maduro and have him replaced with an opposition figure, Juan Guaido, who declared himself, quote, interim president, unquote, earlier this year. Trump's administration has illegally confiscated Venezuela's state oil assets based in the United States and has been channeling them to Guaido.
U.S. activists in solidarity with Venezuela have issued a news release detailing information on the four who were arrested by U.S. authorities in May at Venezuela's embassy in Washington, D.C. The press release says that the newly formed Embassy Protectors Defense Committee, created in response to the arrest and charges leveled by the Trump administration against the last four remaining activists that occupied the Venezuelan embassy for 37 days, has launched an international campaign to demand that the Trump administration drop all federal charges against the four. Kevin Zeis, Margaret Flowers, David Paul, and Adrienne Pine were arrested in the Washington, D.C. Embassy of Venezuela on May 16th, having occupied the Venezuelan embassy with as many as 100 other activists with the permission of the Venezuelan government over the course of those 37 days. The four are now facing misdemeanor charges of interfering with certain protective functions of the federal government. The charges carry a maximum of 1 year imprisonment and $100,000 fine for each of them. The United States government is intent on making an example of them and is using its resources to make sure that they are penalized and incarcerated.
And you've tuned to Radio Havana, Cuba. Thanks for joining us on the international shortwave radio frequencies of RHC, Radio Havana, Cuba. We're also broadcasting on the FM radio here in Havana at 102.5 FM. Now let's go back over to our news. Here's Gerwin Jones.
The British Queen has approved Prime Minister Boris Johnson's request to suspend the British Parliament from early September to October the 14th. On Wednesday, Johnson moved to limit Parliament's opportunity to stop Brexit by cutting the amount of time it sits between now and EU exit day on October the 31st, infuriating opponents who accused him of leading a, quote, very British coup. In his most controversial move yet, to take the country out of the EU without a divorce deal, Johnson said he would set October the 14th for the Queen's speech, the formal state opening of a new session of Parliament that is preceded by a suspension of the House of Commons. That would effectively shut Parliament from mid-September for about a month, raising the stakes on the constitutional crisis gripping Britain. It could also force Johnson's opponents to up their own game by calling a no-confidence vote in his government, potentially leading to an election. The news sent the pound down sharply. The move provoked outrage amongst Johnson's opponents and even some senior politicians in his own Conservative Party. Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn said, quote, suspending Parliament is not acceptable. It's not on. What the Prime Minister is doing is a smash and grab on our democracy to force through a no deal, unquote.
A former commander in the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, FARC, Ivan Marquez, has called on his followers to take up arms less than 3 years after the rebels signed a peace agreement with the government. Marquez appeared in a video in army fatigues and carrying a gun. He announced that a new phase of the armed struggle was beginning, pointing to the betrayal of the peace process by the Colombian government of President Iván Duque. In the Marquez video, he is surrounded by about a dozen men and women dressed in camouflage, among them another former officer, Jesus Santrich. In his 30-minute statement, Marquez says that he called for the return to arms because the Colombian state had betrayed the peace agreement he helped negotiate. He stated that more than 500 social movement and community leaders and 150 FARC members have been killed in the 2 years since Duque assumed office, and the government has responded with indifference.
The Donald Trump administration plans to shift over $270 million of federal funds, including at least $155 million from Federal Emergency Management Agency's FEMA's Disaster Relief Fund to help pay for its highly contested Remain in Mexico policy. The funds would pay for temporary courts on the southern border to hear cases of asylum seekers who have been forced to return to Mexico while their cases proceed through the U.S. legal system. The money will also be used to add nearly 7,000 more spaces to immigration prisons.
The Washington Post is reporting that President Donald Trump has ordered his staff to speed up the construction of his border wall before the 2020 election, even if it means breaking the law. Trump reportedly told aides he will pardon them if they face any legal repercussions related to the request, which could include seizing private land, expediting billions of dollars of construction contracts, and ignoring environmental regulations. According to the Washington Post story, Trump dismissed concerns over the implications of circumventing appropriate procedures, including using eminent domain, telling staffers to just, quote-unquote, take the land.
And those are some of the stories we're following for you here on Radio Havana, Cuba. Let's take a look once again at our headlines.
Cuban president receives visiting Canadian foreign minister.
Cuba and Jamaica expand cooperation in the education sector.
Russia says U.S. must end unlawful measures against Venezuela.
Protesters arrested at the Venezuelan embassy in Washington, D.C., faced $100,000 in fines and 1 year in prison.